The 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And good morning to you again, or a good morning to you for the first time if you're just after joining us. It's 10 past 10 on the 27th of June. And an interesting first hour as details emerge of the future policing model for County Donegal. If you missed it, listen back to the podcast. Some of your comments, Greg. Country is doomed when we have government not being held to account to the people they're supposed to represent. Another, Jerry, was chair of the Northwest Health Forum. He never sorted out these issues when he had the chance. Now bringing it up again. Well, the Northwest Health Forum is health, obviously. The JPC, the Joint Policing Committee, is what he's chair of at the moment. And they have meetings with the Gardaí all of the time and all of the members of it from all different parties and none. They can only try and influence it. They can't actually change it. All day yesterday, a Garda car was parked outside the station in our area, but no guards in the station. And I believe that this happens most days and nights. Also, the car was causing an obstruction post parked mostly on the footpath and sticking out 2 foot onto the road. It's always someone in Dublin, says a listener, drawing lines through a map where Donegal is concerned, whether it's the number of guards, the health service, consultants, post offices, transport, or any issue. How are Gardaí supposed to get from Ballyshannon to Glenties or Milford in time to deal with a crime or emergency? It's ridiculous and deliberate to demoralise the local population. And often, how do you fix the North West? You put something in Sligo. How do you fix Donegal? You put something in Letterkenny. That seems to be the Dublin think. And then they can't understand, because they don't understand the geography, they can't understand why we might be peed off by that. Another caller says, is there any consideration taken of the fact that we are on the border with a big city with a massive population? This proposed policing model is going to be a disaster for the public and for the safety of the Gardaí on patrol. Backup will be non-existent. Gardaí cannot be expected to get engaged in a situation where their personal safety would be compromised. Another, where is our Donegal minister in all of this? We only have one in the county. What's he doing about it? He should be taking this information on board and bringing it up to the Dáil. Everyone should have the full support of our only Donegal minister. This would not be accepted in Dublin. This is coming from a concerned Donegal voter. Another, this model of policing will not work. The Gardaí is spread out so sparsely. If anyone is attacked in their own area, there are no guards available to help them. We need more Gardaí in our rural areas. Another, this change will do nothing but help the lawbreakers. They know that there is no Garda presence and will do what they want. Of course, they'll exploit it. Gardaí don't protect the general public. They are there to enforce the policies of the government. They were there to stop protests when the Irish people weren't happy. Police protests, stop protests, I suppose you could debate that. Opening Garda stations is the best thing to do. Pooling resources and skimming the top is not good enough, believes the listener. Another, one public representative says they found out from the media. The other says they've raised objections through the JPC. Which is it? Well, both are not mutually exclusive. I think it's the full details and the timeline of it that kind of have been leaked into the press. In relation to the new policing model, ask any guard on the ground and they will tell you that it is a circus incoming. Donegal is forgotten about once again. Another listener says the Garda on the ground in general have stopped communicating with rural Ireland. No stopping and talking to local people in general, they believe. Let me see. I just want to do a group sort of in the same topic before we take the bingo numbers. Greg, why does the government want all this asylum against the wish of the Irish people? I mean, like, the argument is that it spreads the load, that we process quicker. And, I mean, there's a lot of conversation about how many migrants, how many people have sought asylum here and what have you as well. Would you be surprised to learn that between 2020 and 2024, that Ireland took in less than 2%, it was actually 1.1% of all, had, sorry, 1.1% of all asylum applications between 20 and 24. You would be forgiven for thinking that we were taking them all, but it is only 1.1%. I presume that we'll end up taking more because part of this pact is to spread out the load. You know, there are European countries next to hotspots for emigration. And they're taking more than other areas. So I presume it has to be a case that we take more, no? Well, a caller believes the implications of the EU Migration Pact will go down in history of the state as the greatest ever betrayal of the Irish people. The aim of the pact is to make the Irish a minority in their own country in a few decades, believes that listener. Another, the alleged bomb hoax threat towards the house of the Taoiseach has to be seriously treated as being a state hoax, since it included a code word that these days would really only be known to the Gardaí themselves. Now, I'm not really quite sure how the code word situation works in modern Ireland, to be honest with you. But this caller, Raymond, actually says the Gardaí is simply playing people to be fools. As I said earlier on, I referenced it. I was anticipating people believing it to be a hoax, a false flag, so to speak. And that's why I referenced what was going around on social media last night. The government indicate that uni fees for Ukrainians will be waived if you're living in Ireland and working from Ukraine. You don't have to pay tax. Why would anyone want to be Irish in this country? We have a government that doffs their caps to Europe. I thought we stopped doing that when we got rid of the English. And it's quite an interesting situation too, that Ireland, is backing Ursula von der Leyen to be retained into her position. And you might remember she came out very robustly for Israel, speaking on behalf of you members of Europe, let's put it like that. She came out very sympathetic to Israel and effectively giving Europe's full backing to Israel. Now, since then, we an outlier to some extent in that we took a far harder line on Israel's role in what's happening in Gaza. So you would think that the relationship between Ursula, what she was doing, certainly at the beginning and to a lesser extent now, and Ireland's position on the issue like the war in the Middle East might mean that, you know, well, we might abstain or maybe not vote for her to retain her position. But no, we are. When I say we, it's the royal we, you know. The government, and Leo Varadkar said yesterday, all Irish MEPs should vote for her to be retained in her position, because that will help us get Michael McGrath a better job. Like, that's the sort of the system. So Michael McGrath will get a better position in finance in Europe if we, even though we have a stance on the Middle East that's very different, it would seem, to Ursula, that we actually vote for her. I mean, how is that really sending any messages or representing the people? And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I am saying this is why less than 50% of people go and vote in elections. That's part of the reason anyway, at the very, very least. I don't know if you've got any views on that. If you think my assessment is unfair, please let me know. More than happy to be educated. 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. What I do know for a fact is that they believe that if those that represent Ireland vote in favour of Ursula, that will mean Michael McGrath has a better chance at a better job, and that's better for Ireland. This is what we're being told. But as I say, I do believe that maybe there's an option for the position for Ireland to strengthen its resolve or to strengthen its position as it relates to the Middle East, and maybe question her approach, at least in the very early days and weeks of what has the horrendous situation that has unfolded in Gaza.
It's time for Vision Ireland Bingo on Highland Radio.
It's Thursday, the 27th of June, jackpot day. You're playing for the jackpot prize of €12,200 on the pink sheet. The reference number is S9. It's game number 26. The jackpot number is 27. This number can come out in any position from the next 10 numbers drawn. And now, here are your daily numbers. 66. 79. 22. 25, 61, 8, 83, 4, 57, and finally 17. Phone your claim to 910-4833 before 8 tonight, leaving your name, contact number and the name of the shop where you purchased your book, and we'll call you back the next working day. Get all your Vision Ireland bingo information at highlandradio.com.
On Business Matters this week, I'll be speaking with John Logue, Chief Executive Officer of Social Enterprise Republic of Ireland, and also Tony Forrester, about this year's Letterkenny Chamber Business Awards. So join me, Chris Ashmore, for Business Matters after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the local enterprise office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Transform your home with Hegarty's Home Interiors in Boncrana. Discover a wide selection of stylish furniture and decor to create your perfect space. Our expert team offers personalised advice to match your style and budget. Visit us on Main Street, Boncrana. Open Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Or visit hegartyshomeinteriors.ie. Hegarty's Home Interiors, making homes beautiful since 1946.
Now in studio with me is Councillor Dennis McGee of the 100% Redress Party. Good morning to you, Dennis. How are you getting on?
Morning, way, Reg. I'm getting on brilliant, yeah.
That's
thanks.
Good to have you with us. Congratulations again on your election. And it's straight into business. We invited you in and we're going to talk extensively about an information evening that's taking place in the west of the county. I think it's one of the first of its kind, certainly in that part of the world. But before that, you were in Galway yesterday for a scan. And I think it's kind of interesting in that it sort of highlights really our access to health service. I'm not going to dig deep. It's up to you to tell us as much as you want. But like, why did you have to... It's crazy that we have to go away for sort of basic medical care, isn't it?
It is absolutely madness, Greg. Like, you know, the fact that I had to leave yesterday about 4 o'clock for an appointment down there at 9. I know I was probably a wee bit early, but I still ended up being late for the actual appointment. Mm. So I ended up having to ring them about 9:05 saying I was caught in traffic just trying to get into Galway. And when I got in then, like, when I met the it was actually the surgeon that I met, like, you know, mm-hmm. and because of the vascular, it's all to do with circulation and stuff in the body, like, you know, and we just got talking and he says, so where did you come from? You know, why are you here and all this kind of stuff? And I told him, like, you know, I came from North Donegal. And he was baffled, like, you know, mm-hmm. he was saying, like, you know, it is madness, he said, like, you know, that you have to travel 5 hours from the west of Donegal to come down here to Galway to get a simple, what I'm going to do right now, he says, is just a simple, like, simple little scan just to see what the veins are like and the circulation in your body.
And he says, full body or is it just in the heart area? Just
no, it's full, okay, full yeah. body, like, you know, say from the head to the toes, mm. like, you know, see if the blood is going from A to B and the heart is working and all that kind of stuff. Still have a heart, he said, anyway, so, like, you know, that's not too bad. But anyway, he said that there used to be a service, like, you know, where the consultant would come to a community setting, like a hospital or something in Dunloe or wherever. And he says, now, the HSE have taken that their way because they stopped hiring all these specialists. Like, he was saying to me that there's four... surgeons down there. These are the guys that actually do the procedures. And then there's the four people that do the actual scans, yeah. like, you know, put the whatever on your body, like, you know, to find out what's wrong. And he said, like, they have to look after all of Galway, all of the Aran Islands, all of Mayo, mm. Sligo, Leitrim, Roscommon, Donegal. And there's four of them.
Mm.
And he says, not alone that, he says, like, you know, but he took me back to, he says, just for an example, last Tuesday, he says, we were sitting upstairs, the four surgeons, and they were meant to be doing procedures that day. But one of the leads in the hospital came in and they said, you can't do anything today because the team that you have around you, like, the experts, the guys that put you to sleep, and the nurses that help out with the surgery, we're going to have to take your team away because there's another surgeon over in the other part of the hospital that has no team today.
Wow.
So we're going to have to take these experts away from you and move them over to the other side. And we're going to give you two random people that's come off some agency. And the surgeon said to me, like, there's no way I can work with that. He says, like, no.
Mm. Do you know, too, Dennis, in that, I mean, obviously you're a young guy, generally healthy, you know, you want to make sure that you're in as best a health possible and you'll take on that 5 hour journey. Hopefully you drove down. I don't know. We're not hopefully,
I
drove down, right? What worries me about this setup is someone who's a little bit older or nervous or on their own that are referred by a doctor or the hospital and they go, I enjoy that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah, a lot of people will put it off.
Those are the ones that kind of really, because we're always looking for excuses not to do stuff, aren't we? And you know, you've gone down there and got checked out, but it's just those that fit, or those that simply don't have the money to get down there.
Exactly.
How would you get to Letterkenny to get the bus? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. You go about it, like, you know. And then, as he said, like, you know, people that kind of say, no, I'm not that bad, I won't go.
Yeah.
Especially if you're an elderly person.
Big excuse.
And then the problem then gets worse.
Yeah.
You know, and he says that he has a waiting list of something like 70 or 80 people, like, you know, maybe probably more.
I probably got them numbers wrong. Yeah.
But he says, like, you know, if you know, the initial stages, that's fine, like, you know, and then they'll put them off. But then that initial thing will become a serious issue, and then it'll be put off. Yeah, and then it's an urgent case. So they miss that. And then it's too late. So the circulation stops.
Yeah.
And somebody loses a limb, or even worse, which has happened, he says.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We are watching people losing limbs because of the services that's there, like, you know.
Yeah. I just don't know why we are not worthy of some sort of a satellite service at the very least, even if it's in Sligo, right? We'd love it to be further north, but just a 5-hour scan. You left at what, 4?
Yeah.
And then obviously you started hitting the traffic then. So you either were able to get there at 7 or off 9.
Yeah, you'd be probably better off getting an appointment there at 7 o'clock rather than 9. Because
you're never going to hit 9.
Yeah. You know, because you're going into traffic right away in every small town, like, you know. Mm. And this is without the schools being open, like, you know. For yesterday, like, you know, was heavy traffic for some reason. I don't know why. Like, but I suppose what I'm trying to highlight, you know, it's okay highlighting these things, but we have to try and come up with some solutions as well. Like.
Yeah.
So what I want to put a face on the HSE, because all we can see is 3 big letters, the HSE. I want to put a human face on them, on this organisation, and sit down to them and say, here, this is what I want to do. Why can we not have this here in a community hospital, a local setting where old people, even disabled people, whatever, like, you know, to have them go in and get their initial consultation in, like, somewhere near hand that you don't have to travel 5 hours to go to, like.
Yeah, okay. Now, there's a meeting taking place, and hopefully everything turns out all right for you. I'm sure it will. There's a meeting taking place in Dunloe on the 2nd of July, and it's in relation to defective concrete blocks. And, you know, one thing that has emerged, and those in the know, but unfortunately maybe for others the penny's only dropping now, I think, you know, not that long ago people thought that only houses in Inishowen were affected by concrete. And then it's sort of, oh, there's a few houses in Letterkenny, and then, you know, there's a few have popped up in Milford. Do you know what I mean? And then, you know, in South Donegal, for instance, where I live, you would speak to people down there, and they wouldn't really know an awful lot about it, because it's a million miles away in the north of the county. But now what we know is it's all over the county. It's not all over the county. It's in 16 other counties, or 16 counties so far across. Across the country.
Yeah.
So in the west of the county now, there's one of the first public meetings, I think, taking place in Dunloe. Talk to me about this meeting, what you believe the purpose of the meeting is, Dennis.
Yeah, well, there's two things I want to find out from this meeting. The first thing is I want to get a sense of the level of defective blocks that are out there, people that are affected, like. I'm looking at this here to where I was a couple of years ago. You know, the first stage, like, you know, where you go into denial. I don't want to know about this here. You know, I want to know how many people are affected. Just give them an idea of what you have to do. Not what you have to do, like, you know, but I wish I had something like this here, like a few years ago, like, you know, where somebody can come in and say, here, we've been through it. This is what we had to go through. Now, we've been through it, like, you know, and I'm not saying for one second that this scheme is good or nothing else like it. Like, the scheme is not worth the paper it's written on. Because let's remember, I don't even qualify for the scheme. So.
And Dennis doesn't qualify for the scheme because his house isn't completed, even though he's invested a ton of money in it. This for his ever home. The reason he can't get on the scheme is because the house is not finished. And you're in the situation to get the scheme, you probably have to pump in another, what, 100-150 grand?
Yes. And then
into its effective house.
Yeah.
Then say, oh, by the way, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah. So, but anyway, getting back to the meeting, I want to just get people to come to the meeting. Just, there's no pressure on them, you know, just if they suspect it, whatever, like people are thinking, you know, just to get a test, it's going to cost me 3,000 or 4,000, like, you know. I think that has changed now, like, you know. The Redress Focus Group, they've done tremendous work on this here. They've left no stone unturned as far as finding out exactly what the people are entitled to, like, you know.
Do you think, and I'm not being harsh, and I'm affected by this myself, so I think I can speak a bit freely. Do you think that people maybe need to take their head out of the sand? If you've got the cracks coming down from the corner of the windows, if you've got that vertical crack going up your cornerstones, if the windows or the doors, there's gaps there that weren't there before, little telltale signs that up until now you've patched or you think is settling or it'll calm down, that maybe it's time to sort of say, right,
yeah,
I might really need to get this checked.
Yeah.
It's not bad plaster.
Exactly.
Not, let's just plaster and all the other excuses we've used in our heads.
Just for your own peace of mind, just come and listen to these people that have gone through exactly what we are going through right now, like, you know. And I'm no expert at this here, like, you know, but there will be people there that has experience and they can talk about, well, this is where I was at. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have defective blocks, but just you'll get a better understanding of what's happening, like, you know, and what do you have to do. If, like, for me, I was, like, in a situation where, Jeannie Mac, like, you know, I don't want to face this, like, you know. I put my head in the sand completely for maybe 2 years, like, you know. Didn't tell anybody, like, you know. I was at the stage then at the end of where I said to myself, right, what do I do here? Do I go down to the pier and put a block around my neck and just finish it and not deal with it? Like, that's how serious this is, like. It's a mental health thing as well as everything else. It's not fair on these families that are out there, like, you know. And I want to be the voice for them now because I was elected on that there, you know, along with, I'll try and help people with every issue. But primarily, this is what I want to do. I want to have me there along with other people so that they can ask questions, like, you know, in a nice, friendly atmosphere, like, yeah, you know, where there's no pressure on nobody. Just come and talk and we'll get through this here together. Like,
and
you know?
I get where you're coming from in terms of your assessment of the scheme. But the reality is there are people who are going and have gone through the scheme, or at least going through the scheme to get the testing done. You know, I mean, there is a 700 or 800 euro outlay in terms of the visual inspection. But then if you're accepted onto the scheme, then you can get the, you know, you can get the bore tests and all that type of stuff, at least to start down that journey.
Yeah,
so
just
you know
for your,
where you're at.
Sometimes you just to know yourself, either why I have it or I don't have it, like, you know. And that can clear up a lot in your own head as well, like, you know. And then you can start the process of coming to terms with it, like, you know. You can start to deal with it. If you want to take your time, that's fine, like, you know. I'm not saying that everybody should come right away and say, oh, I have a crack underneath. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
I think really, you know, and I'm not speaking on your behalf, Dennis, I think this is just an opportunity for people in an area that really until recently wasn't being talked in this context, that maybe are fighting these battles on their own, even emotionally, to get into the same room with other people and sort of, you know, even just share how you're feeling or what you feel or what you think might happen or get some advice on what to do next.
Yeah.
Do you know, even for that purpose alone, I think this is incredibly valuable.
Yeah, because the reality is, like, you know, the perception always was, like, and even for me, like, I was, like, looking afar, that's down in Inishowen, you know, I've seen this guy on the TV, that the Paddy Diver, and that's going back a long time, like, you know. So we're in the infancy of it now, right? So there's a long road, a long battle ahead of us, like, you know. But we're going to have to face it, and we're going to have to face it together. And everybody, just be honest with each other. And we're not going to be pointing fingers and saying, you know, come on, oh, you have a crack, you have it. Like, because this is a major issue, like, you know, to deal with it mentally is massive. Like,
yeah.
That's the big thing. Like.
And many people, you know, not many people, some people might be thinking they're dealing with it and they don't have it, so you have to get it checked out. Where's the meeting and when?
The meeting is on Tuesday, the 2nd of July, in the community centre.
That's Tuesday coming.
Tuesday coming.
Yeah, okay.
In Dunloe, in the community centre, that community centre on the Chapel Road there at the top of Dunloe, right? So it's important that everybody just comes out and we get a feel of what's there, like, so that we can take it forward together and I can be the go-to person or whatever and get all the links and phone numbers and what have you, like, help, because this is going to be a battle that we're going to have to fight together, like, you know.
All right. It doesn't matter if you're in Creasler, if you're in Ardra or anywhere in between.
From the log cabin, it doesn't even matter if you're in South Donegal where we have no representation, like, as a party. Come from South Donegal if you feel that you might have it there, because everybody has to be in this here together and we have to fight together. Like, I want to get the, I know the Taoiseach was on your show a couple of weeks ago, like, you know, in relation to the childcare facilities and stuff, like, so I'd love him to come down here and sit in front of me and tell me, you know, why we're in this situation, who was asleep at the wheel at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, the housing minister, and tell me why that I don't qualify for the scheme. Mm-hmm. You know, I want him to explain to me why I'm left behind.
Okay. Well, listen, it is in CDP Narossan, Chapel Road, Dunloe, on Tuesday, the next Tuesday coming. I always struggle when it crosses a month, but it's this next Tuesday coming. It's in the evening at 7 p.m. and it's an open, friendly, warm space for people to get some information, to have a conversation, I think to connect. And hopefully, you know, join with others if it's their journey they sadly have to undertake. You know, there's strength in numbers. And,
yeah, let this be the start of it, like, you know. Mm. Let this be the start of it so we have an idea of the amount of people that's affected, like, you know.
Yeah, okay. Brilliant stuff. Councillor Dennis McGee, best luck with the other stuff down in Galway and good luck with that meeting on Tuesday night. And thanks so much for calling in. Now, as part of Your Voice, Your Community, in association with Commissioner Mann, funded by the TV licence fee, we speak to three guests now. Angie Gallagher. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. June Doherty is with us as well. June, how are you?
Good morning, I'm good.
And Karina Duffy, all of the Autism Family Support Group in Letterkenny. Good morning to you, Karina.
Good morning.
Right, okay. Now, in April of this year, the Autism Family Support House opened at 32 The Elms in Letterkenny.
31 The Elms. Okay. Just in case you're sending someone to the wrong house.
Sending someone to the neighbour, okay. My mistake, 31 The Elms. The significance of this house, I'll ask you, June, do you want to take that one?
We moved up to the house. We had an old premises, but we had no outside space. It was small. So now we have this house. We now have a great big outside space that's all closed in so the kids can get out to play. We now have our own kitchen where we're learning them how to do basic cooking, buns, pizza, that kind of thing. And then we have a sensory room upstairs. We're also able to offer reflexology now as well. And like, that's, the house is great. We lock the front door. We can keep them safe. They're out the back, they're playing, we know where they're at.
And Angie, all of you are parents of children with autism, and it was you that drove this, really.
Well, I'm actually here as a parent because I found the group about 10 years ago when my son was diagnosed running. And it was basically because, as you know, with autism, there's three things: the communication and your social and routine and rituals. And what happens is a lot of kids aren't able to go into mainstream clubs and activities and that because of their sensory issues and stuff like that there. So with the house, it's kind of like a safe environment now. As we said, the a lot of kids aren't able to like reprocess different places. So now with the house, they have a Saturday club. So it means that we're going to the same place every week. The kid can go into the house, able to process it a lot quicker. They have different rooms. You have your sensory room, you have your playroom with toys, TV. We have outdoor garden and swings and stuff like that there. And it's also means that it's a safe place, as you said. The front door's locked. My son would be a runner, so we have that. But it's also a place where the siblings can also come. So it's not just for kids with autism. Their siblings are able to come. They're able to meet with other children that have brothers and sisters with additional needs that can understand their feelings that maybe some of their other friends can't. And as with a kid with additional needs, sometimes you're limited to where you can go and can't go and stuff like that. And even with me as a parent, I would always have to take someone else with me, because sometimes it's a case of, oh, when Ronan gets fed up, are we going home, mammy? Mm. So now maybe I will go with Ronan, or my sister or someone will go with Ronan, when the other kids are still able to stay with the activities. And with the house now, the like Harry and all is mad about it. He comes and he does the activities, the arts and crafts. Ronan doesn't really like arts and crafts, but he's able to go still. You're not pushing the child into these activities they don't want. There's other stuff there that they can still do. Do you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. don't be put off by saying it's arts and crafts day, because there's other stuff in the house that the kids can do as well. Like,
yeah, brilliant for the kids. I imagine great for parents too, and particularly mums.
It's very good, because as I says, like, even from a social perspective, you're meeting parents, and you know now, obviously, with therapies and everything else on hold, parents are able to speak to other parents, see what kind of tips and stuff like that that they have that help, you know, that help their child. And we've got a wide spectrum of children, you know, like mm-hmm. for very, very young and older. So like, if your child's maybe 10, you might, like, say Ronan is a 12-year-old. Now, we have the activities split up into two different groups, the under 12s and over 12s. But Ronan, even though he's over 12, he wouldn't be able to participate in those activities. So he's still able to go in the under 12s. You know what I mean? It's not solely by your age, it's by your abilities, really, like, and stuff like that there. But
Karina, it seems very adaptive.
It is, yeah. I've got two kids with autism. One is got no social skills, and the other would be highly functioning. So it's great, because there's something for every child, for every ability.
And the thing about services like this, really, they wouldn't exist if it wasn't for parents saying, look, we need them. You know, I mean, it seems to be up to those most affected by some of these things to actually provide the services.
Yeah, definitely. We actually learn more from the other parents in the group than we would from the actual services out there. If one parent hasn't gone through before, another one will. So there's always someone there to guide you through whatever you're going through with the child at the time, because it's different levels at different ages. And, you know, it's once you think you've understood them, everything changes and they go through something else. So, yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure if all of you, how long all of you have been involved in this, but can you feel quite isolated as a parent of an autism in the absence of these type of services and sort of maybe getting together with other people?
Definitely. Like, my daughter wasn't diagnosed till she was 20.
Mm.
And you fight for everything. And at least now you've got someone that helps you through that fight. And, you know, you get more support definitely from there. She's had no support from anyone other than the group.
Wow.
And even if you're having a bad day,
yes, June,
you can lift the phone to a parent and say, oh, this, and this happened to me today. You know you've got a parent there that's going to listen to you and say, oh, you know, maybe we'll go out the weekend, we'll have a drink, but, you know, we'll get together, have a cup of tea. You have somebody there that'll listen to you.
Yeah, so these new facilities obviously allow the Autism Support Unit to continue its work, which it's been doing for an awful long time, but it's just a better environment, isn't it, in terms of the outdoor space and what have you. Obviously, safety is a priority, June.
Yeah. The group itself is getting bigger. We now have 123 registered families. And out of them families, most families now have more than one child with ASD. So we're trying our hardest to cover everybody.
Yeah, of course. And in terms of what's in it for the parents, obviously, you know, we all want our children to be as happy and progress as best as they can. Is there a... I mean, there's obviously a support element to it, June. Does it go beyond that amongst the parents? Any social activities? Am I calling June?
Yeah, that is June.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. Maybe she's about to lean over the table and strangle me.
I'm just thinking, I don't know what to say.
No, I'm like, what I'm trying to say, I'm not trying to make out he's go, but he's go, do the parents get together and do anything?
Yes.
That's really what I was getting
at. We have parent nights out as well. Every so many months, and we would do something like go to the cinema and have a meal, just time for us.
Yeah, so, which I think is really
important. But we also do coffee mornings. Yeah. We do a coffee morning 1 month and then a coffee evening the next month. So if you're at work through the day, you can go in the evening one.
Brilliant.
So they can just pop in.
Have a chat, have a rant.
Yeah.
Plus the reflexology for the parents as well.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit more about that.
The reflexology, I'm saying, for the parents.
And the children.
And the children, that is Josephine Meehan, is the lady that's doing that. Solace.
Anish
and Glenty's. She comes and does that there. So your child will get half an hour, is it? And then the parent
can get an hour.
An hour then for the parent. It just means that something for you, I suppose.
A me time as well, yeah.
And you leave feeling really good after it.
Yeah, okay. I've never done that, actually, reflexology.
And the group will do go shares in the price. Yeah. The group go halfers with the parent.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's brilliant. So,
and like, she doesn't just do reflexology, like, on your feet or your hand. She does other services too, like Reiki and hot stones and
brilliant
crystals.
That's Josephine Meehan Doherty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic stuff.
She's brilliant.
So what's happening for the summer? June, do you want to take that one?
The summer, we have an absolutely fantastic programme coming. Do you want me to list it out?
Go on.
For our under-12s, we have Alcorns, we have TJ Teddies, which is making a teddy bear each, trip to Redcastle, trip to Extreme Bounce, slime-making workshop, and the pottery. For our over-12s, we've got the Transport Museum in Belfast, we've got Lock and Load, Prison Island in Belfast, which is the Crystal Maze, we've got the Planetarium, and we've got Extreme Bounce. For our family trips, we've got Wild Ireland, we've got Dublin Zoo, we've got Finn Harps match on the 2nd of August, which we're looking for mascots from our group. Then our big trip at the end is for Tato Park.
Or Emerald Park, is it?
Emerald Park. But we also have, Finn Harps have also given us 2 days next week, the 3rd and the 4th, where they've given us an hour in the middle of their football camp in Ballyar for our ASD children, which we are very grateful for. Thank you, Finn Harps.
So, you know, there are some parents who aren't involved going, wow, this sounds amazing for me. Are you at capacity? Can parents still get signed up? Angie, do you want to take that one? Or?
Yeah, parents can get signed up. There's, do you want me to say?
Well, you say whatever you like. I want you just to
email. Yeah, well, you have to email your name and that. Will I say the email address?
Yeah.
It's just autismletterkenny@gmail.com. And the group then will send you out the form. It's a €20 fee for the year, and that's you joined up, and that's all your other kids as well joined up for the activities and all that there. But I mean, any parents can come, you'll find that some, as I said before, like, some activities are going to suit certain people and some aren't, and the parents themselves will know.
But this has been designed to
appeal to
different people in different spaces.
But there is kids, say, maybe like with Ronan, even under 12, some things, like maybe sometimes Arena 7, and that might be too much for him, do you know what I mean? So maybe we might come back later or stuff like that there, and maybe we might even only just come for the food or come, you know, just for one part of the play or for the bowling or something. Like, you can work it around you so that it's going to help. But as well, if Ronan's not able to go to activities, my other kids are still able to participate in the activities. And just as my son Jay is 14, so he's able to go to the over 12s if he wants to, even though, like, Ronan is going to be doing the activities for the under 12. So it caters for all the other parts of the other family members as well.
You
don't need to have a diagnosis.
That's what I was going to say.
If you're waiting
for
a diagnosis, you can still join the group. You don't have to have the diagnosis.
And Karina, what is the significance that for those who may not be aware of siblings being involved as well?
A lot of people might think that if only the ASD child is involved, that they can't go. And they might have two or three other kids at home, some more, four. I've got five altogether. Like, and, you know, you might not be able to get out or get somebody else to mind them. So you do need to take them all with you.
I think that's amazing too. Yeah. And so inclusive as well. Yeah. And I would imagine it means a lot to all of the children involved that we're talking about, and all of the parents, that all of your children are equal in their activities.
Have to do separate events, like.
Yeah,
it is
a remarkable list of stuff, though.
And there's a very broad range of ages.
Yeah. So, therapies for ASD child only, reflexology, swimming, horse riding, autism. We have all autism parents
running the group.
I'm going to have to get you in for the printer. Running the group. We're always on the lookout for more volunteers. That's what I wanted to talk about. That I was trying to get down to, because, you know, I think there's an awful lot of work here, and the broader the load, or the broader the load is shared, the better. June, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, well, it's like on Saturday clubs, we, like, each parent who comes to Saturday club takes it their day. But sometimes something might happen in the house.
Yeah.
They can ring up and say, look, sorry, such and such has happened. We're able to call on our different volunteers then to say, can you cover this Saturday to do whatever activity we have planned? Could be baking, could be arts and crafts. They could be outside playing games, just to cover. That's why we need our volunteers. Sometimes our parents are just too stretched.
Yeah. Looking at the pictures of the house, it looks lovely and homely.
Yes.
And spacious. And then you can design certain rooms for certain things and all. It's a great addition to the whole services.
Yeah.
In terms of costs, you talked about a €20 membership. I presume for everything else, trying to keep the costs as low as possible.
We actually at the moment don't have any funding from anybody.
Yeah.
We did a couple of years ago. The funding now is starting to run out. So we have enough now to keep us going till the end of the summer. That's it.
Right, well, I think we need a separate conversation on that.
Yeah.
Considering what you're surprising yourselves, like, this is remarkable stuff.
Yeah.
Because it takes pressure off the public services, you'd imagine.
It does, yeah.
You know
when
what
we
I
do
mean?
Things like the
that has to be a value. That has to be a, yeah. We need to start putting a value on that.
We applied for the CDNT too for the grant. We didn't get that. We wanted to do therapies of our own because there is no therapies at the minute for our children.
Mm.
We wanted to do homework club. We wanted to do OT. We wanted to do speech and language, which is one of the reasons we got the house. So we can provide these things privately. So your parent can come in. No one needs to know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
They can get whatever their child needs and go again. We can employ someone, but we didn't get the grant.
All right. Well, listen, we'll make representations as well in relation to that going forward because it does work. It can make a difference, and hopefully it might make a difference in this regard as well, because it's clear the work that you're doing needs to be supported and there has to be a value placed on it by the state, I think.
We seem to be getting more and more families.
Yeah.
Like every week. This week alone, we've had 4 requests to join the group.
Yeah.
Like now that we're on here today, I would say we'll probably get 20 or 30
now. So, because it's for all over the county, people are coming.
It's the whole of the county, yeah.
I think people haven't heard about it because of COVID and people would have been maybe going to therapies and all that. When I first started running, they would have said there is an autism family support group and we would have had flyers up all over the place. But because people aren't going to those places anymore, they're not knowing about it as much. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not right. Yeah, that's exactly it. So, like, this is as well, like, I mean, there's loads of other activities and all that they are happening, you know what I mean? And
well, the list is too extensive really to read, and it's so varied as well.
Plus, it's very cheap.
And so, also, I like the fact that, you know, that there's family outings and there's individual outings and the siblings, you know what I mean? You seem to have absolutely everything covered.
When I do the summer programme, I ring up people and I tell them, we are the autism group.
We're a charity.
When is your quiet time?
Yeah.
Now, most places like Arena 7 and the cinema and stuff give us a private hour. So, like, there is just our kids there. So, there's no music on or anything. There's nobody else running around screaming. It is great.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. Anything else that we need to mention?
Just the price of the summer outing.
Yes.
Like, every trip is only £5 a head.
That's amazing. Like, it's brilliant.
It's such value for money, except for the big one to Emerald Park at the end of the year. It's 10. But everything
but
else.
But even that. Is very reasonable.
You wouldn't get anywhere for 10 years.
Yeah, transport as well, like down and all, and we also get the fast passes for going around.
Brilliant.
So
it's amazing what you're doing. Stay in touch with us, will you? Because we can hopefully back you and give you support in trying to get some funding. I mean, the minister responsible in this area is very, you can work with her, you know.
Yeah,
so we need to sort of start to reach out and see what she can do. So we'll do that.
Any businesses online that would like to sponsor anything for the summer programme, I'm always on the look.
I've no doubt about that.
That would be fantastic. So if somebody would like to come on and say they will sponsor our bus bill, that would be great. Because if most people in Letterkenny don't have a car, they do have a car, they can't afford to fill it. So if we have something that's going on outside of Letterkenny, we provide a bus.
Well, let's put it like this. You've heard the fantastic work that the Autism Family Support Group does in Letterkenny. It doesn't get any funding. You know, when there was a round of funding announced, they would have been waiting for some positive news. They didn't get that. You can hear, and you've heard from the three ladies, how hard they work. This is all parents of children with autism that are involved in this. They've got an amazing programme put together, and it's all for the children and the families. If any of you out there have any resources or your business and you want to sponsor, get in touch with us. Every bit helps, and we'll put you in touch with June. So maybe that could happen today. It would be remarkable and ease the pressure because there seems to be a bit of an end of summer cliff edge here, which we're going to have to work in, I think, over the summer.
Yeah.
But for now, Angie Gallagher, thank you so much for calling in. I do appreciate it. Karina Duffy, thank you so much for calling in as well. And June, thank you.
Thank you.
All three of you. Have a wonderful day and the best luck with the summer. And we'll be back with the news shortly.